So last time we talked about how it's going at the Sawak Swish event, and today we've got an exclusive because we've managed to get one of the organisers here. So hello to Paul Brooks.
Hi everyone. Hi, Paul. Hi. Hi. I love that word exclusive. Welcome. I didn't know I was like royalty for this.
Oh yeah, you're definitely royalty here, aren't you? Because you're one of the organisers. Yeah, how are you finding it?
Yeah, really good. It's as well as you say that I'm the organiser, there's two others as well that's involved. So I've got a twin brother, Glenn, so he also organises this alongside Karen Toko. And the three of us kind of came together many years ago, and here we are running this amazing weekend at Potter's.
Brilliant.
And I take it, how many times have you three being to Swish?
Twice.
It's my
third time.
I'm a complete virgin.
Yeah. There we go. And what do you guys think so far?
How many years have you been running it here?
This is our 18th year.
18th year.
Wow. 18th year. 18. So it all began 19 years ago when we had a meeting.
I never realised that.
Oh really? Yeah. Wow. It was. I think a couple of years ago, Potter's was actually celebrating. It was COVID times.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was at the start of that particular year. So. Maybe
our 15,
yeah, about then, yeah. And Potter's was celebrating their 100th birthday, and we ran our weekender here. We had a group shot with everybody in the Atlas Theatre on that particular weekend, and that was the only almost weekend that Potter's ran for that year, and that their only almost celebration, yeah. Because then the COVID times hit. But bringing us back to now, it's great that it's all back to normal again, and here we are 18 years later.
Well, you ask what we think of it. I think it's absolutely fabulous.
Amazing. It's fabulous. Can't fault it.
I've been before and I know how fabulous it is, but you know, we've had what, two nights of dancing now, and it's just been just great standard of dancing. I've got to say this, the ladies here are the best. You know, every time I ask a lady to dance, it's a fabulous dance every time.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with that. Yeah, been sensational with the lady dancers. A very, very high standard.
That's great. It's like all the weekenders, all the other dance weekenders, they've all got their place, haven't they? Yeah. And it's like, and you all go for many reasons. Obviously, some of the other weekenders are there purely just for dance, but this one for those that may never have been here before, and before you've come for your first time as well. It was. I think there's so much more that this place offers. And it's not just about the dance, it's that it seems to have a much more of a relaxed atmosphere here. Maybe it's the meal times, maybe it's the quizzes, the sporting activities, and especially for us crew, we were only just saying lunchtime yesterday that us crew were sat on the table in the dining room, and we're saying this is great because normally we'd be passing a microphone over and say, off you go, enjoy your next class. And we would even be passing ships.
Of having, you know, breakfast at a certain time, lunch at a certain time, and an evening meal at a certain time, people fit themselves
into it. You work
around
it, don't they?
So you don't have that kind of we're dancing till 6 o'clock in the morning thing, do you? And then half the people are missing from breakfast.
That's right.
I think it is a way of pacing yourself.
Yeah, but I think what I got from Paul there is that also the crew is also eating at that time as well, so everyone's taking a break from dance.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting when we first built the program right at the start of this weekend, and we were looking at the structure of, I want to say, a normal weekender, as in when it used to be at Pontins and the likes of, and it's all purely dance, and we're kind of saying, but this weekend is so different because we need everyone to go to bed at a reasonable time, because we want everybody to get up for breakfast, because of the fact that if you miss breakfast and then the 10 o'clock activities suddenly begin, there's so much more to do here, other weekenders you may have a bit of a lie in and go, actually, other than the odd dance class, I've not missed too much. But if you miss
we've done a previous podcast about weekenders, and we've talked about the fact that we go to bed, you know, really late, then we get up whenever.
Correct.
Right, and you say there's no structure to it. Another thing is, when you talk about this being different, you have these big displays that say, a weekender like no other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That says it all. That says it all. Yeah, it's do you know? So obviously, I said it was 18 years. It all started, like I said, 19 years ago, and we came here. So me and my twin brother Glenn, we've been coming since I was 6 years old, as a family holiday, and we were out on the golf course with one of the entertainers who knew we did Ciroc, and it was a guy called Busby. Busby, who's been here at Potter's for many years, and he just said, look, why don't you try and bring Ciroc to this resort? We've never had it before. We've got Strictly weekends, we've got line dance weekends, Keep Fit weekends, but we've not got Ciroc. So there we are on this particular break, but 19 years ago. And Potter's, they do all right in terms of getting people here, but they certainly wasn't selling out. So they said, if you want to take over, this is the weekend you can have the following year.
Yeah.
And so that's how it all started. The negotiations took place and that all kind of went through.
And the first thing to say though, Paul, is this is a 5-star resort and it's more expensive than any other weekend, particularly if you compare it with the old Pontins ones, right? So when they kind of said to you, okay, if you want people here, we're going to ask for this much money, didn't you kind of go, oh my God.
We were so grateful that Mike Ellard, who owned Ciroc at the time, he was there with his kind of like purse and bit purse.
He gave you a budget, didn't he?
Big wallet, shall we say. Yeah. So financially backing, it was Mike Ellard that.
He has put money up to secure it,
was,
it all.
To hire this place out. It's, and this is going back many years. It's like, it's a different story now. Right. And but yeah, it was I can't remember the exact figures, but we were tasked to almost say, right, you've got 6 months to try and sell, and I'm going to pluck a figure, 60%, let's say, of the occupancy. And if you can't reach that target, we will allow Potter's guests to then be part
at the same
time. But then we wouldn't have that exclusive rights to the resort.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we were past that target line, whatever that figure was back then, and Mike Ellard, along with Glenn, Karen and myself, we sat there, and it's just the fact we just believed in the product, and there wasn't anything out in the dance world that would cater for this kind of dancer in terms of more of the exclusive higher end market, if that's the best way to say it, and so it was almost people were trialing it for the first year. We remember that, I think it was on the Sunday of that very first year, the rebooking lounge was full all day, and we had lots of our dancers queuing up for 1 or 2 hours. And we even at that time felt, this isn't right. Why are people queuing when they should be enjoying all these activities?
They wanted
to come back the next year. So year number two, it sold out so much quicker. But obviously we then started to build in into the equation that we would open up bookings a few weeks prior to
it actually taking
this year's place. And it just then gives it kind of like an open end for anybody and everybody to have that fair chance of coming to this break, because we will say, right, on this date, 2 weeks before the Potter's weekend, anyone can book.
If you go back to that thing, you've now got to sell 60% occupancy, right? And it's like you've got no bookings at all, and then you go, right, let's go. How did you do it? Was it a case of you at your Ciroc class would stand up and say, we're having this weekender? How was it sold? How did they actually do it?
Yeah, so London, they will, or HQ, they send out the marketing campaigns in terms of saying when the bookings are going to go live. And then we ourselves as teachers, I think, because we've got a franchise in Essex, so a lot of the dancers are quite
so
near
you
to
were plugging
itself.
It to every class.
Absolutely.
Night, you were plugging
it. And then social media came into play.
Yeah.
And that's my background as well. So a lot of marketing on social media, popping videos up, telling people about the weekend. But it was the word of mouth that sells this place.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what's done it. It's people coming away going, it's absolutely incredible.
This is
where that strap line of a weekend like no other comes back into play, because that's exactly what it is.
You obviously run Ciroc then in Essex, is that right?
That's right, yes.
We're from the Midlands, and there are very few people from our area here. Mm. That's fair to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people we don't know. Is that because a lot of them are from Essex and the counties around
the
Essex.
I'm going to take a guess here, but I'd probably say that wherever the Weekenders, the Dance Weekenders things take place, that's where the majority of dancers come from naturally. So when it was up in Southport, you'd get predominantly that...
The northern that, area.
Exactly
northern
that. Area. Yeah, similar yeah, to yeah. Canberra, when it was down Canberra, in Canberra, you'd yeah, have the south yeah, kind yeah. of region. I guess because we're now over in the Norfolk, so... Yeah. The kind of like the east part, that's where the Essex region comes into play. It just so happens to be on their doorstep, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like all of us, how far will people travel to get to a weekend? I would say for this one, that seems to get further and further away because of how unique
it
is.
The two ladies I came with, it was 4.5 hours.
There we go. Yeah. There
but
we
it
go.
Was like,
it's
four
worth it
hours,
when you're here.
4 hours, we're getting closer. We're nearly there.
Just under three for me and Ton, so we're just under three.
Yeah.
There we go. So,
another thing that I've noticed about it is not just that we don't know lots of the people, it's the age group as well. There are less of what, dare we use the phrase, younger dancers.
Yeah.
Is that because it is more expensive or more exclusive?
It's. I would say so. There's definitely more couples that come to it, you definitely find. I think just because of the nature of the weekend, it seems to attract that audience.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be like that. It just, I think, where you've got people coming and joining in with classes. Just a few. Have you found that as well? It's a little bit more couple-y.
Yeah,
just very couple-y.
And you're right. I think that the younger people probably want to have maybe their chalet parties still, and keep going dancing all night. This weekend doesn't necessarily offer that.
It's a bit like a mini break for them, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As couples, it's a mini break for them as well, isn't it?
And
there's so much to do.
We've always said with this particular weekend, some of the weekenders, let's go back to Southport and Canberra at the time, it's a dance weekender, where we feel that this is a weekender with dance.
Yeah, got you.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so much more going on. The dance is the added extra, but there's so much more that's on offer.
You mentioned the younger people wanting their chalet parties. The other thing I've noticed at Southport is that they come out at midnight.
Don't come out till midnight.
There we go.
They come out till midnight and they dance through till 6 o'clock. Okay. Then they sleep for the rest of the day and then come out midnight the next day.
So you three quite happy that we finish round about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock so that you're an early-ish night?
First night's good, but tonight
we've got the neon party tonight.
What does that involve then?
So yeah, we've the last few years it's been the neon party. So wear bright colours. The whole
that's
resort.
Tonight, is it?
That's going to be tonight.
Oh, of course, yes.
So it's a great way to finish off the weekend. But we always look at different themes. We've done a white night before, but the neon one goes down very well because I think everyone's got some bright colours in their wardrobe to wear.
When we were talking about the podcast we did about weekends generally, we talked about fancy dress because when we've been to Southport, Siroc Heaven, for instance, would always have a fancy dress theme. You'd get 200 people dressed as doctors and nurses and things like that. And other groups would have their own fancy dress groups. We don't notice that here. Is that something that...
No, I think wasn't there, I think, on Friday night, there were some Mexicans, I think,
were there?
Dressed up. Did you miss that?
Oh, we must have missed that.
Yeah, I didn't see any then.
Oh, okay. Gosh. I think there's a few little groups that do it, I think, but just because of the... Maybe, again, because of the nature of the weekend, we're basically saying that there's going to be a big party night, a theme night on the last night, Sunday evening tonight, and it's let's go full
it's
out there.
Neon night,
Saturday night always seems to be where last night seemed to be people a bit more dressed up.
So
it's more of that kind of posher evening being a Saturday night, because I always feel this place feels like a cruise ship on land.
So Friday
everyone's kind of like bedding in. Saturday comes along, it's a bit more of your posh dress night, and then Sunday is the complete opposite.
Yes, it's party night. Anything goes.
You know, you mentioned about it's like a cruise ship on land. I've only been on one cruise, but one of the things that cruise ships have is a theatre at the end of the ship. And you've got the same thing here, haven't you?
Yeah, that's
It gets packed out.
Absolutely.
It was packed last night.
Yeah,
really
great. It's like they try and do different shows each time for us. Obviously, not the way it works out, that's not always the case. But yeah, this weekend we've had one new show that they've put in the production. There's another one being planned. It's not quite ready for this break, so we'll probably get that for next year. So that's another exclusive, book on for next year, and you'll get that new show. Yeah, the shows are great, and even the restaurant. When you walk in and you've kind of like the big staircase going down the middle, a massive chandelier in the centre of that particular part of the building, it feels like you're just back onto a cruise ship.
Last year there was a lot of people having their pictures taken on that when they were really dressed up.
On the staircase,
yes. With the official photographer. And he was literally employed all
just
night
one after the other,
taking
wasn't it?
Pictures of the people on the, going down with the chandelier above it.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Talking about booking for next year, so are the places for next year then?
It's very, very limited. I would say by the time, so we have a meeting with Potters on Monday, tomorrow morning, and it's likely that they might say we're probably 90-95% sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
When we opened the bookings 2 weeks ago, we refreshed the page, and I know there's ladies wanting to book together, and the gender control comes into play within 1 or 2 minutes, and then we've got the whole just people wanting to book solo places as well. It just goes so quickly. That demand, I don't think people quite realise. We try and do a video each year just so that you can see that when we refresh that button at 1 minute past 10, there might be about 130 bookings sat in that inbox. And if you times that by, let's say, two people are booking, there you go. Already.
Gosh, this is like a Taylor Swift concert.
And then, so even at the end of the first day of bookings, I believe we were up to about 400 places sold.
So what is the maximum this will hold?
So it's about 730.
So it's completely 100% all dancers here?
All dancers, So it's great that we have that sole occupancy. It allows us to say to Potters, this is what we would like, how we would like it. These are the dance classes we have. So that's what's so nice
Paul,
about
with
it.
So much demand, couldn't you do it twice a year?
Do you know what? That question is asked all the time by so many people. The reason why we've never done that is prior to Surratt coming to Potters, Potters used to have line dances, as I said earlier in the podcast, line dance weekends, Strictly Come Dancing weekends, and some of those other groups would go and do 2, maybe 3, possibly 4 of those same weekends over the year, and it just dwindled out. And before you know it, you've then no longer got a weekend that they could run. And at the moment, with the whole demand of people wanting to come here, it's that whole, have you been to Swish this year? Because it's such an amazing event. And will we dilute that feel that it's that one-off event, that big event in the calendar? We would probably sell a second one, but then which one of those two do you go to if you can't afford both?
Both.
Yeah, both. But if you can't do both,
it's
like suddenly we split what could be that amazing atmosphere that we've created.
Yeah.
And for the three of us, for Glenn, Karen and I, it's never been about running this loads of times. It's never been about the money. We just wanted to run a weekend that had never been done before, that is at the posher end of that dance market, and we've kind of fulfilled that. And it was all about, at the time, we were a very small franchisees just starting out, and it was really to put our names on the Surratt map, just to say, we give it a go and let's see what happens. But we've kind of done that now.
Another reason for keeping it perhaps to one time is you get the same people. Now, I think that's a nice thing, because I recognise, although I don't know these people, they're not from the Midlands, but they are the same people, and they love meeting, don't they?
Yeah.
The thing about a weekend is you meet your friends.
You meet your friends again.
Time to all get together. And I suppose if you split it, some may go to one, some may go to the other, and you won't get that same community feel.
Exactly that. We, as I said, me and my brother have been coming here as a family holiday. We would come here every Easter, and then one particular, and then summer holidays. And we would always come on a particular summer holiday, and it would be the same people we would meet up with. So the same teenagers that me and my brother grew up with coming here. My mum and dad would see the same people. And then that particular weekend split, for whatever reason, and it was either this weekend or the following weekend. And so we came that following year, and the atmosphere just went, because half of the people came one week and the other half came the other. And we came away going, it's a great holiday, and it always is here at Potter's, but it just lost that extra special moment. And why, as the saying goes, why break something if it's kind of already working?
So. I'm really pleased that you're kind of not chasing the money as well for this. You can do overkill, I guess, by overexposure, isn't it? So by keeping it one a year, I think it does keep that special.
Yeah, to see over 700 people by tomorrow morning go home and go, we've had an amazing time.
Big smiles on the face.
And to find that we've pretty much sold out for the following year, the three of us walk away going, there we go, that we've done our job. It was just to make sure that everyone enjoys themselves and have
I'm
sure a good time.
When we're driving home, we're going to feel we've had a great weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, probably stop nights. In a lay-by and have a dance.
Just make sure you get your pick and mix tonight. There's a pick and mix.
Get
your pick and mix in the theatre, and then that way you can drive home with your pick and mix.
Pick and mix as well.
just to keep that sugar boost going.
I wanted to ask a question about gender balancing, because there is... meant to be, you know, a 50-50 split, but I think, you know, I know there's a lot of women that are frustrated that they can't get on to these kind of weekenders and holidays because of the gender things. Is there any way around it? And is there a way, you know, because I kind of wonder if it was the other way around, i.e. men weren't allowed to come on.
Yeah.
Maybe they would be finding more solutions for it.
Yeah, in short, there's no way around it. It's I think for this particular break as well, what also doesn't help, which we have to be careful of, is that because couples might come along here, you've got the female that wants to dance, the male might be a non-dancer. But
coming along
because they're going to be joining the sporting activities. So not only for this particular break are we watching the gender control quite closely, we're also trying to listen or hear from people saying, I'm bringing my husband along who doesn't dance as well, because that also makes the imbalance even harder for this particular break. So all I will say for those people that try and book on, and they're not successful. Round about December time, around Christmas, is when the full balance, when the balance is all due. Yeah. And naturally we get a few cancellations at that stage. So it's always about 2 months before the following year, that particular swish break is due to come, that final balance is due. And we just tell people that if you want to go, put your name on the bulletin board, even if it's a female only booking, because as close as we do get to that event, sometimes triple rooms become available and it just so happens that we're able to take female only bookings. My definite advice that if people can't get on, just put your name on that bulletin board, that notice board, as soon as possible. Potter's looks at it all the time. My brother Glenn, who oversees it from Sir Rock's point of view, he's always looking at it, and we more often than not make sure we try and get as many people on that want to go, so people don't miss out. So that's kind of my best advice I can give to those, especially female only bookings. Book on, or at least put your details on the website.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask a question about the event, the lessons that are here, because I love the Sir Rock, and obviously there's silk classes as well. But I went to a couple of bachata classes, the great fun, and then there were some waltz classes as well. And I don't think I've been to any other Sir Rock weekenders where they've done different dances. Is it something particular about the Potters that you do this?
I'd say that they certainly have the variety at other weekenders. Fortunately, Karen, who's one of the organisers, is ballroom and Latin trained. So there's your ballroom classes already done.
Yeah.
And she's got a lot of qualifications, more so than Sir Rock, to teach ballroom. So there's your ballroom classes all sorted.
So it's because of the teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Dean, who was doing the bachata class,
he
specialises in that as well. And he's been coming here for a number of years. We always look at the crew lineup and try and tweak things or move things around year on year, maybe try to get new teachers to come here that's never been before, just so that even the crew at Ciroc can have a go. But yeah, we always look at the variety and just try and make sure that we're kind of putting on as much as possible.
These ballroom classes are as popular as the other classes.
Yeah, by far. Really? Yeah. And maybe
the chatter class was so full.
Maybe with the ballroom, it could be, again, looking at the audience or the people that come to this particular break, maybe it's that generation that likes to do more of your ballroom classes than you might find if it was Southport or down in Canberra.
The bachata class was almost oversubscribed.
Yeah.
And we were actually going further and further back into the sitting area. Into the sitting area. So, yeah, really good.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Paul, for giving us a fantastic insight in how you've run this. And, I think we're just very pleased you have done it because, we're absolutely loving the event.
Amazing. Well,
thank you very much.
I'm glad you guys have been here.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
Yeah,
thank you.
And join in.
Thank you, twin brother, and also Karen
as well. Yeah, yes, no worries. Well. Yeah. But yeah, enjoy your party night tonight.
Yes,
and don't forget that pick and mix to take home in the car. Let's leave it there, shall we?
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Great. Thank you.